Today we've got a very, very new friend, and I'd say in the last couple of years I've gotten to know Dan Clark. He's the Vice President of Convoy of Hope, and I am absolutely taken with what they do around the world. And over the last couple of years, Dan and I have become friends, and I thank God for him. I was looking for a way which we could say anytime there was a disaster anywhere in the world, I didn't ever want you to wonder, what are we doing? I wanted you to know we are doing something. And it was through that partnership with Convoy Hope. Would you please welcome Dan Clark as he comes to join me on the stage. Praise the Lord. Come on, give him a big welcome. All right. Now, I actually was asking for a sheet of paper here, and I hope it is here. They told me it was, but it's not. Monica, can I have that sheet of paper that I asked for? All right. Because I just want to be able to just maybe just for a little bit, brag on Convoy, because, you know, obviously our partnership with you is something I'm excited about. Thank you, Monica. I've got this quick facts. In 2021 statistics of Convoy, you've been involved in 17 disaster responses, 140 humanitarian impact loads, 14,241,731 pounds of product delivered, 710,000 individuals served, and over 5,700 volunteer hours worked. Internationally, listen to this, 387,000 children were engaged in strategic feeding programs in 17 countries. How many think this is a worthwhile organization? I mean, I could go on. The list here just is extensive, and I just want to say welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
Good to have you. Say hi.
Man, it's great to be here, Wave Church. Good morning. Grateful for your partnership, your trust, your generosity. Convoy has experienced just incredible favor over many years, and the recent years we've seen God just continue to stretch our reach, expand our reach, and it's because of partners like you. It's because of partners like you. And you know, for those who aren't familiar with Convoy, maybe you've just heard about us in the last year or two as we've started partnering together. Though God has expanded our reach around the world to do many of the things that Pastor Steve just highlighted, Convoy's did not start with some grand strategic plan. It was really birthed, the vision for Convoy was birthed out of a personal tragedy. Back in 1969, when our founder, Hal Donaldson, was just 12 years old, his parents were involved in a head-on collision with a drunk driver. His father was killed, mother left with debilitating injuries. They had to pin her body back together. And Hal and his three younger siblings, without any life insurance, without any savings, they were thrust into a life of poverty. They were taken in by a family, the Davis family, who lived in a single-wide trailer, had kids of their own, needs of their own, but they took the Donaldson kids in, gave them a place to live, food to eat, clothes to wear. I've heard Hal tell stories of when men from his church would take him to buy shoes because his were full of holes. And it was that compassion and that kindness that was shown to them in their hour of need that gave them a determination to one day help others. Well, you fast forward several years later, Hal was in his mid-30s. He had a journalism degree. He's writing books, making money, and enjoying a good life. And he's on assignment in Calcutta, India. And his host set up a surprise interview for him. They arranged for him to meet Mother Teresa. Wow. And of course, as a journalist, he's pretty excited. And he's thinking of all these questions he's going to ask her. But she was the one who would ask the question that would change history. She asked Hal at one point in their conversation, she said, "Young man, what are you doing to help the poor?" And as Hal tells the story, he didn't think it was a good idea to lie to Mother Teresa. Probably right. And so he answered honestly, and he said, "You know, I'm not doing anything." And her reply would change his life. She said, "Well, everybody can do something." And as he flew back home to Northern California, where he and his wife live with their young girls, he was haunted by that, especially in light of his personal experience as a child. And so they loaded up a pickup truck, he and his wife, and a U-Haul trailer with some groceries, and just started going into poor neighborhoods and helping families and trying to resource churches so that the church could be the hero in that story. And over the last, well, it's 27 years now, 1994, Convoy started. Because of partners like you, because of generous people like you, Convoy has been able to bring help and hope to more than 165 million people around the world.
It's amazing.
You're a part of that. Yeah, over $1.5 billion worth of food and supplies that have been distributed primarily through churches and often during times of disaster.
And I know also we're in every campus, we're wanting to train people here to be able to respond as there is need in our own area. But just talk to us a little bit for people in Wave Church, like as we've partnered last year with you, what difference has that made? How's it helped Convoy?
Oh man, Wave Church has been a part of something miraculous. This last year, in spite of the pandemic and all the challenges, all the restraints, we served together more than 31 million people just in this last year alone. Isn't that incredible?
That is amazing.
You mentioned 387,000 kids in our school feeding program, 17 countries. We were at 300,000 a year ago. And again, despite the pandemic and schools being closed, we were able to increase the impact by 87,000 kids. So nearly 400,000 kids that wake up every day now knowing they have nutritious food, clean water. They're learning about God's love for them. Their destinies are being changed. And on top of that, the good news doesn't end there. It's 26,000 women and girls that were served, received training and resources through our Women's Empowerment Program. We're helping mothers start their own businesses so that they can feed their own kids. Through our agricultural training program, 15,000 farmers helped. We provided them with the seed capital and training to help them increase their yields. I mean, this last year was one of the greatest years of impact in Convoy's history, and you were a big part of that, so thank you.
I want you, I know you're clapping what Convoy's doing, but I hope you're hearing this. It's what we're doing together.
That's right.
By this amazing strategic partnership. And I'm looking forward for more to come.
Yeah.
This is early days for us with Convoy, but I'm looking for longevity. And I think whenever I'm looking at how can we at Wave Church respond as a legacy offering and what we do, we're looking for good soil. I remember Cheryl and I were in August, we were driving out of Mobile, Alabama, and we were driving out of that awful, awful hurricane, which you and I both know that the impact of that was as significant.
Absolutely.
As Katrina.
Yeah.
Didn't get the media coverage. I think the media's been a little bit preoccupied with other stories.
Very much.
Yeah, regrettably.
Yeah.
And so when we were driving out of that, that was like, I didn't even mean to be driving out of it. I had to drive out of it. And I know the impact it had, the devastation. But tell us about that.
Yeah. Like you said, the news isn't covering a lot of them. But in the last year, Convoy has responded to 62 natural disasters, both here in the United States and around the world. And a lot of those, they just don't make the news, but the need is still there. And what I want you to know is that the church is still responding. The church is being mobilized. And Hurricane Ida would be a great example of that. Hit late August, you might remember, Category 4 hurricane, so 150-mile-an-hour sustained winds, 7 feet of storm surge. It did not get the press that Katrina got, 15 years ago, but for the communities that it affected, the damage is right on par. It's just as bad. And the good news that I want you to hear is that your partnership has enabled us to empower 71 churches in those affected communities through which we together have served more than 206,000 people just in the last couple of months in response to Hurricane Ida. And that is that's with thanks to partners like you, our corporate partners like Home Depot, and we couldn't do it without you.
It's amazing, isn't it, church? And I that's the thing I really pray you understand, that as we are partnering with Convoy, it's such a great thing to know that we're there. And just by your giving to legacy, the difference you are making. You know, the Bible says one will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000. Here we are, Wave Church. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is expected. You know what that means? It doesn't mean God demands much. It means expected in the sense of a mother's expecting a child. Of course this baby can come. To whom much is given, of course we can do a lot. Thank God for your partnership, your giving to legacy, and for you to sit here today and look at these strategic partnerships, the difference it's making. I know, like, you've done a lot of flood response as well, and obviously that comes
fires,
from hurricanes.
Fires, floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, you name it.
And the fires as well in California. You were right there. We were right there.
You were.
Talk about that for a minute, because I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, the wildfires in California, you know, again, 62. Yeah. 62 just in the last year, and you could probably name, you know, just four or five that we've ever heard about on the news. But and we've got a video that we're going to show in a second. We wanted you to see from Hurricane Ida the families and see the work that you have been a part of. So, again, thank you for your trust. Thank you for your partnership. We're incredibly grateful.
I've asked Dan after this video, would he just share and encourage us this morning for our Legacy Month? And, of course, Convoy Hope is a strategic new partner with WAVE, and I'm excited about it. So we're going to throw to the video. Then after that, you're going to hear from Dan. It's going to be fantastic.
Well, good morning again, WAVE Church. Good morning to everybody who's joining us from Seaboard, Norfolk, Richmond, Wilson, those who are watching online. Excited to be here with you again. It's my second time at WAVE Church, and I love being here. I love your people, your staff, your team. I love the Kelly family. Love hanging with them. And I just want to honor you, Pastor Steve and Sharon, for your many years. It's been several decades now of service to this church and to this community. And I just love your passion for Jesus, your passion for people, and your compassion for those in need. And I just want to honor you. And can we do that together, actually? God has given this church a great gift in your pastors, and I trust that you know that. Well, this morning, in the few minutes that we have together, I want to take a look at a biblical model for raising resources. This is a legacy weekend leading up to your Legacy Sunday, where you will be giving to invest in ministry like we've talked about this morning. And you know, as it pertains to the legacy offering, the legacy campaign, this is not about have to. It's worth saying, nobody has to do anything. This is about get to. It's about want to. It's about being excited about what God is doing in and through this church and in the world. And I want to talk to you this morning about a principle that once it becomes real in your heart, not just your head, it will change the way that you think about money. It'll change the way that you think about giving, and it will release God's blessing into your life. Who would like to experience God's blessing in their life? Right? All of us. And we're talking this morning about the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest. Call it a law because it's as much a part of our existence as the law of gravity. You can't eliminate it. You can't alter it. You could ignore it, I suppose, to your own harm. But it's a law that governs our existence. And this is not a man-made idea. It was God who set the law of the harvest into motion. Look at Genesis chapter 8. It reads, as long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter. I'm kind of partial to summer. I know some like four seasons, but I'm a warm weather guy. Day and night. As long as the earth remains. It means it's always going to be a part of this life that we know here on earth. And there's four principles or four laws of the harvest. They're very simple. They're very practical. And I'm going to share those with you this morning. And I'm going to move quickly, if that's all right. The first law of the harvest is that we reap what we sow. We reap what we sow. Galatians 6:7, the Apostle Paul writes that a man reaps what he sows. The New Living Translation, I like even better, it says, you will always harvest what you plant. Always. There is never an exception. It's how God set it up. In fact, it's in the seed. You don't plant tomato seeds and grow watermelons, right? It just doesn't work that way. And look at the full context of this passage in Galatians 6. The Apostle Paul, he's not just talking about farming. This is not just a metaphor here. Verse 7, he writes, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Meaning, he set the rules. He set the rules, and any attempt to circumvent them, God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not
give up. And we see this lived out in every area of our lives, right? That we reap what we sow. You see it lived out in your relationships. You see it lived out in your finances. If you don't have a good relationship with your kids, it's probably because you didn't sow much relationship with your, if in your marriage, you know, the list, it goes on. And in scripture, there's lots of examples. Proverbs chapter 18, it says, a man who has friends must himself be friendly. That's intuitive, right? If you want to have friends, you can't be a jerk. It doesn't work that way. You want to have friends? You need to be investing friendliness in the people around you. You can look at Matthew 5. Jesus said, God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. You want your Heavenly Father to show mercy to you. You want those around you in your life to show mercy and grace towards you. You need to be a person who is extending grace, because we reap what we sow. Forgiveness will be another one. Jesus in Matthew 6, he said, if you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. You want to receive forgiveness in your life, you need to be a person that does not harbor bitterness and resentment, but someone who freely extends grace, because you know how much you need it, right? We reap what we sow. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, he writes, the point is this in verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. The Apostle Paul, he wrote this when he was trying to raise an offering. He's writing a letter to the church at Corinth. So he's not just talking about gardening here. He's trying to raise an offering in the church. And he reminds us that whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. In a verse, this is the law of the harvest. The second law is that you reap after you sow. Just look at that verse. Sowing always comes before reaping, whether it's sparingly or bountifully. Sowing always comes before reaping. And we get that, and yet we fall into this illogical line of thinking at times where we say, as soon as I have a harvest, then. And we fail to embrace the responsibility that we have right now to be planting seed. Jesus said, if you are faithful with a little, then what? You be trusted with much. It starts with what we do with the little that we have. There's no farmer. If we met a farmer who said, once I have a harvest, then I'll plant some seed, how would we respond to that guy? We say, good luck with that, right? That's a terrible business plan. I'm not a farmer. I didn't grow up on a farm. The only interaction I have with that world has been through Convoy of Hope and the agricultural training program. What I know, what I've learned, is that farming, to stick with the metaphor for a second, it takes faith. It takes patience. It takes courage. Why? Because we reap after we sow. They put in tremendous work, tremendous investment to put seed in the ground with no guarantee of an outcome, just a certainty that whatever they reap will come after they sow, because we reap after we sow. Third law, I told you I was going to move quickly, is that you reap more than you sow. In the seed is the power to reproduce. Money becomes a seed when it's given to God. If you plant just one seed, one kernel of corn, in poor soil, you will get one ear, which is roughly 600 kernels. You reap more than you sow. That's poor soil. Now, if you're a real farmer, you know what you're doing. Not me, but if you're a real farmer, you know what you're doing. You know how to cultivate the soil and care for the seed. That one seed in good soil will give you 3 ears of corn, 1,800 seeds. You always, 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 in every facet, it's true, you will reap more than you sow. One of the times where my wife and I saw this come out very true in our lives was about 22, 23 years ago. When I was in my early 20s, Full of ambition and always a hustler, I started a business that went from enormously profitable to just catastrophic failure in a matter of like 90 days. I mean, we're talking, honey, I think we're going to have to sell the house bad. It was bad, bad, bad. It was an avalanche of calamity. And some of it was my own fault. There were people who took advantage, but I took some risks that I shouldn't have. But anyways, after the dust settled and the lawyers were done, we had a six-figure debt in front of us that was more than double our annual income. When you're in your early 20s, at any point in your life, if your debt has gotten that bad, that's a lot. That's stress. That's hardship. But in your early 20s, we had all kinds of advisors that told us, you know, you need to file bankruptcy. You need to just take advantage of those laws and just reset. You're young, you'll have time to rebuild. And if that's been your story, hey, that's fine. But we sensed deep in our hearts that God did not want us to take that path out, but rather he wanted us to walk this journey because there was something he wanted to teach us. Now, of course, life got very lean. We lived very, very lean. So lean, I don't even know how we did it anymore. But we lived lean, we hustled, and we put every dollar we could towards attacking that debt. That's reasonable, right? But we also knew that there was a certain amount of money that we could not move, and that was our tithe. It was that first fruits, the first 10% that we're commanded to give to God. Why? Why would you do that, Dan? Because we knew that God could do more with the 90% than we could do with 100%. Amen. So true. And we knew that you will never have to violate the principles of God in order to achieve the blessings of God. Never. Yeah. Never. Hear that loud and clear. You will never have to violate the principles of God in order to achieve and experience the blessings of God. And so we gave faithfully our tithe. We needed every dollar to be going to that debt, but we kept giving. And I'll tell you, friends, over the next 36 months, we saw God do miracle after miracle and pour out favor. And through ways that we never could have designed or accomplished on our own, we saw him completely deliver us from that debt to zero. Zero. That is my testimony. I don't know what your situation is today. I don't know what it is that you're believing God for. I don't know what it is that you need him to do, but I know that God is going to do it. If you will be faithful to sow, if you will be faithful to plant your seed, whatever seed you have, that he's a creative God. I don't know how he's gonna do it for you, but he is creative and he loves to bless people and he is always true to his name and to his word. He will do it for you. The fourth law of the harvest is that you reap based on how much you sow. This is an interesting truth. We determine how much we harvest. I mean, you're thinking, Dan, I thought God did that. I mean, you know, Lord of the harvest. But look at it again, 2 Corinthians. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Who decides?
We do.
You. And whatever you decide determines how much you harvest. We determine the harvest. I love the New Living Translation version. It says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. In our agricultural training program, we're teaching farmers all kinds of different things to help them grow more food in their country, in their community, in their context, so they can feed their own families. And one of the things that we teach those farmers is when they are trying to figure out how many bushels they want to harvest per acre, they have to plant a certain amount of seed to get that outcome. If they want X bushels, then they have to put in Y seed. If a farmer came and said, I'm believing for X, but I'm only gonna put in half a Y, we'd say that doesn't make any sense. It's no different. It's no different for us than what we're talking about here this morning. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. He said, the amount you give will determine the amount you get back. It's just simply true. And this room is probably full, and at every campus, the room is probably full with people who could testify to how they have seen this played out and lived out in their own lives. So there you go. There's the four laws of the harvest. You reap what you sow. You reap after you sow. You reap more than you sow. And you reap based on how much you sow. Now I'm going to ask a volunteer to come up and help me here for a minute. Aaron, would you come up and join me? Everybody, welcome Aaron this morning. Aaron, you're looking good today. You're looking lean.
Yeah, a little bit.
Little bit. All right. Here's what happens. God gives each of us, let me see your hand. God gives each of us seed. Now you might be right out of the gate thinking, Dan, I don't have a lot of seed. I mean, I don't have as much as they do. Sure, some people might have more, some people have less, but we all have seed. We all have some seed, right? And here's the temptation. Here's the trap for those who think that they don't have a lot of seed. They say, I gotta hold on to my seed. Because I don't have very much. I mean, I don't have as much as they do. So I gotta protect my seed. I gotta guard it very carefully. I can't lose it. I mean, if I had more, things would be different. But as long as Aaron holds on to his seed, what does it have the ability to produce?
Nothing.
Nada. Nothing. It's essentially dead. As long as he holds on to his seed, it has no ability to create a harvest. It has no capacity to reproduce. As long as he holds on to his seed, or worse, if he consumes it, and you shouldn't eat this, Aaron, it's as good as dead. It's gone. It's gone. It reminds me of the verse in Proverbs chapter 11 that says, one sows freely and yet grows richer. The other withholds what he should sow and only suffers want. Sows freely but grows richer. How does that work? Releases the seed. Releases the seed. But watch this. As long as Aaron holds on to his seed, he can't receive a harvest. I mean, God wants to bless him, but he's still holding on to a seed. He can't receive the blessing of heaven. I mean, the blessing bounces off because he's still holding on to his seed. And it's not that God doesn't want to bless him. I mean, God is good and he is generous and he loves to bless people. And there are some of you this morning that are listening and you're facing these trials and these needs and these circumstances and you're like, Dan, I don't understand why God won't bless. And I'm just here this morning saying, I know he wants to bless you. It's just that you're still holding on to your seed. And God is saying, if you would just open up your hand. All right, now Aaron, I want you to go ahead and release. I want you to plant your seed. There you go. Now watch what happens. His position changes. And now he's able to receive a harvest. And he went from one seed to many seeds. His hand is filling up with seeds. And he takes and he releases what he received and he gets more. And he receives and he releases. And we begin to see the law of the harvest come alive in Aaron's life as he receives and releases and receives and releases. And God says, you know what, Aaron? You have been faithful with a little. I'm going to trust you with much. So you just keep receiving and releasing, and you receive and you release. And then God says, you know what? This is a person through whom I can accomplish my will and my purposes. We got to find a bigger bucket. And Aaron, you just keep receiving and releasing and receiving and releasing. as God just continues to pour out his blessing through your life, and he shows you that he is a God who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than we can ask or imagine. And you don't ever have to worry about running out of seed, Aaron, because he is the God of the harvest. Come on. Give him a hand. Praise God. Praise God. Friends, we serve a God. We serve a God who wants to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. He wants to reach people with his love that have never experienced it. He wants to bring comfort and help and hope to people who are hurting. He wants to restore broken relationships and broken families and broken lives. And he wants to do it through us. He is more generous than we can even understand. And the hardest thing is letting go of our seed. But when you do, you allow God's blessing to flow in and through your life, and heaven can touch earth. And friends, this is a picture of what God wants to do, and he wants to do it through you. Look, I preach this message this morning because I want you to experience joy. Our enemy, he wants you to be afraid. He wants you to believe that if you give, you'll have less. But the Lord of the harvest says, no. If you give, you'll have more. There was a man that some called mad. The more he gave, the more he had. Let me pray.